Hey guys, welcome to the very first episode of
Flick or Flop. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Alex, and you guys are probably wondering, who the hell are we?
Well, Alex, you're a lifestyle consultant in the Philadelphia area. You cover everything from housing to health and happiness, and you're also my boyfriend.
Aw, thanks, Jeremy. And you come to us with over 10 years of experience writing film reviews, a member of the online Film Critics Society, and a graduate of Penn State with a degree in film. Yes. So tell us, what exactly are we going to be getting into, especially this week?
So this week, for our very first installment, we're going to cover three movies. We're going to, you know, review them, and then we're also going to say whether you should see it. If that's the case, it's a flick. If we think you should skip it, it's a flop. And then we'll also cover some other January releases. So we'll start with The Gentlemen. First, I'll introduce the plot. Matthew McConaughey plays an expat who runs a marijuana business and wants to sell it so he can retire and enjoy life with his wife. Then there's McConaughey's right-hand man, played by Charlie Hunnam, who gets visited one night by a private investigator, Hugh Grant, who tries pitching a screenplay to him. Now, it's supposed to be an expose of McConaughey's life and current illegal operations, but it turns out to be a blackmailing scheme. And twists ensue from there. So what did you think about this one?
So for me, it's definitely like I usually don't like The Godfather and all those gangster type movies, but this one, I have to say, I don't know, I actually did enjoy. It's to me like a modern day Sopranos, but on the big screen.
Right.
I enjoyed it.
If the name Guy Ritchie rings a bell, this is very much Guy Ritchie. He wrote and directed the movie. You know, he did a lot of like gangster movies in the late 90s and 2000s. Very, like,
what would be one?
Thuggish, British. So there was a movie called Snatch with Brad Pitt.
Okay. Dreamboat.
Right. There are some Dreamboats in this.
Yeah, there are.
But yeah, it's very much his style. He has, you know, bursts of violence and, like, chatty characters that kind of talk like Tarantino characters, and there's always like a dark, cheeky British sense of humor.
I thought it was so fun to me. Like, that British cheeky humor is like honestly my probably favorite style of humor.
Right. Yeah, it's very playful, and it's very playful with like story structure. It's very convoluted, but I think there's like a self-aware nature.
I think it probably takes maybe a quarter of the way through for you to understand like what's really going on, and then it just gets to be really fun.
There are a lot of like double crosses and like twists upon twists, but I thought there were like satisfying payoffs to it for sure. We should talk about the cast. Did you have any standouts?
Well, of course, Matthew McConaughey. But hold on, the Queen. Well, I was kind of expecting his wife to be more of a, like, a drug lord queen, like a mob queen.
I wish she did have more to do in the story, but I thought whenever she was on the screen,
sexy, yes. She played her role, she was quick, she was witty.
Saucy, yes.
And it was definitely a drinking game.
Right.
You could totally have a drinking game to this movie.
Right, which we will get into. I just wanted to mention the wife is played by Michelle Dockery. She was in Downton Abbey, so it was kind of fun to see her like put away the refined,
right,
you know, sophistication of Downton Abbey and just like be this badass,
no filter
broad.
Right.
Yeah, she's very sharp, ball busting. I think they call her a Cockney Cleopatra at one point. But as you were saying, this could be a drinking game. It definitely could. But you would probably be in the hospital getting your stomach pumped.
Perhaps, depending on the rules.
Right.
Yeah.
So these British, they are not gentlemen, by the way. They are very, I mean, they look like gentlemen, but they are very...
they put on the image.
Yes.
But anyway, they call each other, a see you next Tuesday.
They sure do.
They sure do. I guess the Brits find that to be, like, a term of endearment.
And but fuckery, fuck about.
Yes, fuckery is a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
What did you think of the cast? So, obviously, Matthew McConaughey, right, the wife. Right. Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, for standouts, I liked Matthew McConaughey. He has that swagger that he always does. I kind of felt like I was sometimes, he has a lot of, like, monologues in this, and I felt like I was, watching another Lincoln ad where he's driving around and, like, you know,
oh, talking right,
real smooth. But, no, I enjoyed him, but, I really like Hugh Grant. He's kind of like a flamboyant type in this, his mannerisms, and he kind of comes on to Charlie Hunnam a little bit. Yes, he does. Charlie Hunnam. Oh, Charlie Hunnam. he actually gets to be funny this time. Like, he gets to, talk tough to some, like, heroin addicts and, like,
You're talking about the coach?
No, that's Colin Farrell.
Oh, okay.
No, Charlie Hunnam was the right-hand man with the facial hair.
Okay, okay.
The cute one.
Remember, I'm just the average Joe.
I know. Anyway, before I gush more about Charlie Hunnam, Colin Farrell, I thought he was hilarious. he stole a lot of scenes for me, especially just seeing him in that tracksuit.
I know, the wardrobe was on point, I have to say.
Yes.
The film wardrobe, great job, costume.
Right.
It was great.
Henry Golding from Crazy Rich Asians is in there. He gets to be a little goofy. Who else? Jeremy Strong is playing, like, a weird millionaire. He's kind of, like, effeminate. I don't know. I kind of liked what he was doing. I don't know what he was doing, but
I think it was nicely done. It was a nice surprise, I think. For me.
Yeah. Now, I wouldn't say it was extremely memorable, but I had a lot of fun. It was a lark. It has a stacked cast. They're perfectly matched. It's fun to watch. So, yeah. I would say it's a flick. I would see it.
I would say it's a flick. We're just going to have to stay tuned for your full review where you really get into the details and tell us, like, okay, from, like, an A to an F, like, where is it?
Right.
I think I have an idea of where you might put it, and you're difficult.
'Cause I'm so predictable.
Well, not predictable, but yeah.
Yes.
I feel like I understand.
It's a recommendation, though. It's a recommendation. No movie's perfect.
But just keep in mind, usually my rating is just
a little bit higher.
Right.
You just love everything. No, just kidding. All right.
So that's The Gentlemen.
Yes.
So, wow. All right. So talk about jumping from one,
so now
one
we,
extreme to the
now
other.
Now we have a horror film in January. It's PG-13, too, which isn't always, like, a vote of confidence, but
I never think that the rating has anything to do with it.
Right. Now, I want to say, okay, the movie's called The Turning. Now, this movie is getting trashed. I'm just going to put that out there.
Which I'm really bummed about.
Right.
The trailer looked awesome.
Yeah, creepy.
The hype about it.
Yes.
But not to put it down without even telling you what it's about.
Right. I don't want to come out of the gate and say, like, oh, it's trash. It's getting trashed. But I guess a little background real quick. So The Turning, it's another adaptation of a Henry James novella called The Turn of the Screw. I haven't personally read it. Have you heard of it?
Nope.
No? Well, it was adapted before into this movie that's highly regarded, yet it's on my shame list. Haven't seen it. It's from the 60s. It's called The Innocents. So yeah, we'll have to watch that at some point. But so this is another adaptation of that story. It's a ghost story with some, like, psychological underpinnings, whatever you want to call it. It kind of reminded me of The Others, if you ever saw that, with Nicole Kidman.
Okay, maybe.
It's good.
Yeah.
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 So I liked this for a while.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the ending or lack thereof ending yet. I want to say what I liked about it. So it was directed by Floria Sigismondi. Sorry if I'm butchering that name. She has a background in music videos, and you kind of see that, like, grunge music style a little bit, kind of in the score a little bit, and it's also set in 1994. I guess it was... That wasn't always
which
set
makes sense with some of the effects we were talking. Well, we were talking about that, right. Whether they were poor effects or just giving tribute to
circa
that era.
1994. Yeah, yeah. Not to get ahead of ourselves.
Right.
But yeah, it's set in the 90s. It opens with like the news of Kurt Cobain committing suicide. What I do like that it's, you know, it being set in the 90s, there are no cell phones. So, the main character, you know, cannot... We didn't even talk about the plot yet. That's okay, though. We're very loosey-goosey around here.
Well, for me, I can't even explain the... I think that's maybe why we're not even talking about the plot, is because the plot is one thing until it's not.
It loses its way. It's a bait and switch.
Right. Yeah.
Well, here, I'll say real quick. So, Mackenzie Davis, she was in the recent Terminator movie this year.
Love her. She
love
was
her, yes. So, she plays a teacher who leaves her current teaching position to be a living governess to this 7-year-old girl in this manor, this very gothic manor. And, you know, it has a hedge maze and a koi fish pond, and you know, it looks
so for the
spacious.
Average person, she's a live-in nanny tutor,
right?
At this estate.
Governess, yes. Private tutor, yes. Right. Yes.
So I didn't know what a governess was.
Well, they say it in the movie. No, they don't explain it. But so there's a housekeeper there that's been there with the family for a while, and she's very, like, cold and stern, and she tells Kate, is the governess's name, that the little girl, Flora, does not leave the property for whatever reason. And then, you know, the longer Kate stays at night, she wanders around the house, she hears whispers, and there's bumps in the night and everything. And then... Where does it go from there?
Well, I feel like it... So it goes to this one place, and then it just takes you completely back to the very beginning of the movie, almost, where she was...
Yes.
At a different place.
There are a lot of, like, dream sequences, so I don't know if that's just supposed... The whole movie is just very, like, disorienting... you know, you think it's a ghost story, maybe it's a psychological thriller, is it all in her head, or is she really seeing these supernatural entities?
And are the kids in on
right,
it?
Right, so we should mention...
What's the extent of that?
Right, we should mention that...
Unanswered question.
We should mention that the character Kate is, she's tutoring Flora, who's played by Brooklyn Prince. She was in a movie called The Florida Project. She is really cute and precocious. I liked her.
Yeah, she played it well for given her age, whatever, whatever.
Right. And then Flora's brother, who comes in, he makes a surprise return from boarding school, we'll just say. He's played by Finn Wolfhard, who was in the Stranger Things TV show. He was in the It movies. I liked him. There was something really unsettling about his presence.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to get
which
too much into that.
Which is why I was like, is he in on it? What's
right.
The
he's
of
this
that?
Troublemaker, and he's just, he, you know, the kids prank Kate a lot, and you really feel her frustration.
Yeah, you do.
That, you know, you do wonder if it's just making her crazy. But, so what we should get to is, was there anything else that you wanted to add that you liked about it? I mean, I really liked the gothic style. It had this, like, classically creepy approach to it. I liked the way it was shot. I liked it when it relied on, like, tension and suggestion rather than, like, the jump scares.
Right, and there were plenty of opportunities where, if you're a jumpy person, you could have jumped.
There was one that did get me.
Yeah.
In a window.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, and I was... And you asked me, you're like, did you see that? And I'm like, no, I didn't see it.
I don't know how you did it.
I know.
There's a lot of stuff that works well where it's in the shadows and you're not seeing it up close because then you see how cheap and cheesy the effects are.
Well, I was probably busy shoving my face with that delicious popcorn that I'm not supposed to have.
I know. But so this movie is a lot of setup, and then it kind of loses its way. There's not much of a third act, and then it doesn't really end so much as just stop.
Right. It's one of those movies where I literally get mad. Like, right. I'm so mad. I was so invested in this whole story, and
I'm wondering if that's why so many critics are trashing it, because it's the last note that you end the movie with, and then you go on with your life. Like, you know, you get angry, but they kind of, maybe they forget that what they liked about it in the first place. Like, I'm all for ambiguity and leaving something for the audience to, like, figure out on their own, but this wasn't that.
Today's society doesn't like that.
Right.
That's my take on it. Everything
spelled out.
Right.
They need their hand to be held.
I need my questions answered.
But no, it wasn't that. It was abrupt. It was unsatisfying. It was a shrug. Like, yeah. That's it.
Right.
So I would say up until that point, I enjoyed where it was going. I liked the way it looked. I thought the performances were good. It had a creepy look to it. So I don't know. I would give it a middle of the road. Like, I wish if there was like a... Something in between
a flicker
or a flop. Yes. Yeah, I don't even, you know, I might go flick on this one. Just,
yeah.
Maybe.
Well, you do like a good horror.
Maybe see the first 90 minutes and then get up and leave.
Honestly, it had so much potential, I think, for me to end on a much higher note.
Yeah.
Not that I'm looking for a high note with a horror. Well, but
there are some really good horror films out there, and I think that's why the horror genre gets such a bad rap, because people just see maybe, you know, the bad ones. But what would you say?
To me, it's a flop.
Okay.
I think that I would have much rather seen, gosh, I don't even know what else was available, but...
Hey, it was better than The Grudge.
Okay.
But that's maybe not...
You are correct on that.
Yeah. Maybe that's not saying much. You are correct on that. But.
Yeah. It was deceiving.
Okay.
Had high hopes, fell flat, disappointed.
Aww. So it's a flick from me, and...
And it's definitely a flop.
From you.
Definitely a flop.
All right.
So, Color Out of Space.
Color Out of Space.
Is that our third and final?
So this is another horror film.
I don't know if I call it a horror, though, as much as it is a sci-fi.
It's a cosmic sci-fi horror fantasy dysfunctional family drama.
Yeah, I think it's more like in the sci-fi realm than...
Yeah. So, maybe I should describe what it's about.
Yeah, you need to describe it.
Right. So, Nicolas Cage and Jolie Richardson. Jolie Richardson, by the way, was in The Turning, which I realized as soon as we saw her on screen. So this is her second horror film of the week.
Right.
So anyway, Nick Cage and Jolie Richardson, they play this married couple. They have two kids. They live on a farm. They're raising alpacas. Fucking alpacas.
Was it alpaca?
Yeah, it was an alpaca, because Nick Cage says alpacas a million times.
And so, he says it weird.
Well, it's Nick Cage. So, one night, while some of them are sleeping, the sky fills up with a pink light, and there's a meteor that crash lands in their yard, and, well, creepy shit happens from there. So this is a H.P. Lovecraft adaptation. For those of you who don't know who that is, I haven't read any of his work, but he's very, he's into monsters and, I guess, body horror and just, you know, horror sci-fi stuff.
For me, it was interesting. Like, I like Nicolas Cage in this.
Before
jumping ahead.
Right. Well, why don't I let you tell me what you liked about it?
So, my perspective is it's kind of like a War of the Worlds... Gosh, I don't even know what I was describing it as, but it's just this...
It's strange.
You can't even really describe it.
And, you know, I do like movies that are hard to describe.
Spider.
Right. Spider. So, if there's anything to say about this movie, there's a lot of grotesque imagery. There's something involving a mutation and then kind of...
acquisition.
Spider-like. Yes.
Something. Yeah. It was very...
yeah. So, yeah, this is a nasty, strange, trippy movie. If that's your thing, I'm going to say I did dig it. But,
can I tell you which one I... okay, so I love this one much more than... I would relate this on the same level as maybe In Fabric.
Okay, In Fabric, yeah, it wasn't for you. It's not everyone's cup of tea. Yeah.
But I would say this is, like, this would be similar. Yeah. It'd be similar, yeah, this is, like...
okay. I enjoyed the style. It has a very otherworldly look to it, and the score I really liked. A lot of neon colors. And, you know, I thought the director, Richard Stanley, did a lot with a little. And I think he brought out some bonkers energy out of Nick Cage when he gets the chance to go bonkers. Oh my god.
There's a lot of great messages, I think, too, as far as like loyalty and standing by, mm-hmm. and all of that. Mm-hmm. So yeah it's way more than just like a sci-fi horror,
right? It jumps through a lot of different genres.
Yeah.
But it has no happy ending, and I applaud that. It's very hopeless in the end. But yeah, so if this is your, you know, cup of horror, I would say it's a flick for me.
It's a flop.
Yeah.
Alright. As much as I don't know. I
have strange taste.
Not that you have strange taste. It's great to see different actors play different roles. Mm-hmm. Like, I almost feel for some of the actors sometimes with these movies. I'm like, aw.
This is definitely a niche movie, though. It is, like, you'll know if it's for you within, like, the opening 20 minutes. Or maybe even less than that, to be honest.
So those are our three of the week.
Yes.
So you guys are going to have to take a quick listen to a completely unedited, unfiltered, real and raw quick hit.
Unplugged.
Unplugged, yes. What did we do? We talked about, what, four different?
Yeah, we talked about...
they all blend to me, and if they're not memorable, I forget them.
Right.
I think there were a handful. So you guys are going to have to...
January releases, yes.
Take a listen and...
quick hits.
Yeah, yeah. If you guys want full reviews, you know where to go.
Yes,
TheArtfulCritic.com.
.com.
So it was a pretty busy week being in January. We saw, what, The Gentleman, Color Out of Space, and The Turning. But that's not all that January had to offer.
No. And January is... notoriously known for being like a dumping ground. You know, the studios have no confidence and they just throw it in there in January right after Christmas. So yeah, we have some thoughts on some other January releases.
Well, and you know me, you're gonna have to refresh my memory, because right. If it is a flop, I'm telling you what, I don't remember it. And okay. They blur a little bit, and we may disagree on whether it's a flick or it's a flop.
That's what makes it fun. Well, the first one, we probably won't have too much to say. It's The Grudge.
Oh, The Grudge.
The remake that you just always wanted. So I was cautiously optimistic for this one. I wasn't a huge fan of the original. Well, I guess it was already a remake with Sarah Michelle Gellar, but... I like the director behind this one, Nicholas Pesch. He did a really creepy but beautiful horror movie a couple years ago called The Eyes of My Mother. Very disturbing. But so he was attached, and then it has this great cast. Andrea Riseborough, Damian Bashir, Jackie Weaver, John Cho. Do you know any of them?
I know none of them.
There's also Lin Shaye from the Insidious movies. I mean, she's been in a lot of a million horror films, but she's always a sight to see. So, what did you think of this one, Alex?
There's really not much for me to say. I really liked the last making of The Grudge. And I don't even think this one is The Grudge. I think it's just Grudge. Or at least that's how it's being advertised. And I don't know. To me, it's The Grudge. There's only one of them. And it was the last one, not this one.
So it's definitely not The Grudge.
It's definitely a flop.
Yeah, I just found it glum. And the characters were boring. And there was a lot of gore. It was R-rated. But yeah, it wasn't much fun. And there was no point to it at the end of the day.
I was bummed out. And I was really looking forward to it.
Yes. All right, moving right along.
So one that I really liked recently was Underwater. It's kind of like an aquatic alien. And I have to say, like, I was really hesitant. I have been hesitant on, you know, Kay Stu, right? Ever since Twilight and all of that. I don't know. She's just been really coming around for me lately with Charlie's Angels and now Underwater. I don't even know what to say other than go freaking see it.
Yeah, you were talking about Kay Stu, Kristen Stewart. Yeah, she gets a lot of flack for those Twilight movies, but she's really come around since then. Actually, both her and Robert Pattinson have made a lot of interesting choices. But yeah, Underwater. Yeah, it is Alien Underwater, but I thought it was a pretty good one. It was lean and mean. There were some gnarly deaths.
It kept me going. Yeah. Like, it dropped you right on into the action. And I felt kind of, like, bummed because, yes, I was getting popcorn. And I was late getting in. So I was just like, wait, what happened? What?
Yes. It does really drop you in, which, I guess we don't even have to go into the plot. But it just,
can't ruin it.
Right. No, I know. I'm just saying it throws you in there. And you're right along there with Kristen Stewart and her shaved head and she's definitely the Ellen Ripley, Sigourney Weaver figure, but she even runs around in her underwear at one point, which happens in Alien. But
there were some nice nods.
Definitely, yes. Some blatant nods. But yeah, I thought it was pretty effective. All right, so we are going to disagree on this one. Doolittle!
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you already know my thoughts on it. I
do.
So I'm just gonna save my thoughts.
Alright, well, it's not that I'm not a sucker for a talking animal movie, but I'm a sucker for a good talking animal movie. So this is yet another adaptation of the Hugh Lofting books, children's books. Yeah, there was a musical back in the 60s, and then there was the Eddie Murphy movies, and a bunch of direct-to-video sequels without Eddie Murphy.
I will say I did not like the Eddie Murphy one.
I enjoyed those enough. I saw those when I was younger, but yeah. So this is Robert Downey Jr. playing Dr. Doolittle.
Mm-hmm.
He can talk to animals, spoiler. I want to start with him. He does this really bizarre, maybe Welsh accent that I found really distracting.
So he didn't pull off the accent very well. It wasn't believable.
No. And I felt like sometimes it was being redubbed. Like, sometimes his lips didn't always match the words, and I just found it really unintelligible. Like, I could not understand what he was saying half the time, and that just kind of sucked the charm out of it for me. It does have a good voice cast.
Yeah. I really enjoy it. Right. I mean, if you were to compare, I feel like the last Doolittle to this Doolittle, I feel like this one's a much more, like, believable, less cheesy Doolittle. So I think that that's, like, where I'm kind of comparing those two. But I think that sometimes we get too critical of children's movies, and they're just supposed to be light and fun.
They're movies too, Alex. They all need to be you know, graded on their own.
Yeah, but just imagine if you were not being a critic of the film and you were just enjoying the experience and you were remembering the childlike enjoyment of it.
No,
I think that they definitely hit the nail on the head with it.
Well, I think you need to see the Paddington movies.
I think that Robert Downey Jr. could have been more attractive and cleaned up better once he did get cleaned up.
He plays a grieving... He's grieving his wife.
He was like
wife.
The Grinch. Yeah. He started off at the beginning of the movie like the Grinch.
That's just not fun in the kids' movies. Anyway, it's a big budgeted, big star redo that does very little for me.
There were a lot of great messages in film. Yeah, how his passion was reignited and just this beautiful, playful romance. Yeah, this innocence. It was great.
He's being generous. Skip it.
Nope.
All right.
The next one we can definitely skip. I think we can both agree on this one. If we're going to talk about this one, I don't think that we should talk about it too much.
Right, no.
Bad Boys for Life.
Which, they miss an opportunity. I mean, not that I wanted a fourth one, but this should have been the fourth one. Bad Boys for Life, get it? So this is the third in the series. I guess it's a trilogy now with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, you know, playing their buddy... cops, whatever.
Dynamic duo. Yeah.
I do have to say, you know, I didn't think this was terrible. I did hate Bad Boys 2, which came out in, like, 2003. This is not directed by Michael Bay, so you can actually tell what the hell is going on. I think Lawrence and Smith do have chemistry. I mean, by the third movie, they better have it. So it was an improvement over that. I guess it was better than it had a right to be, but it just wasn't for me.
I think Will Smith is losing his steam.
Ooh.
I don't know. It was just a little blah. Like, but that's me though. Like, I'm so done with Bad Boys. I'm done with Fast and Furious. I'm done with cars.
Like, you're just not a gearhead.
Yeah, I'd rather have something more like the Bourne series. Okay. That's more my cup
Pretty
of tea.
Realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually like the Fast and the Furious movies. I think they're getting better as they go along because they don't give a shit anymore. They're not taking themselves seriously. I don't know. I guess if you're a fan of the Bad Boys movies, you won't be disappointed. They definitely. Recall.
Everyone seems to like it. I'm the anomaly.
The audience that we saw it with were hooting and hollering. So yeah, there's definitely an audience for it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't give it a skip it or a see it. It's like, if you're a fan of it, you might enjoy it. What would you say?
Flick or flop, it's a flop.
Okay.
It's a big old flop. All right,
we'll go with a flop.
All right, guys. Well, that's a wrap of our first episode of Flick or Flop. We had a lot of fun recording it. You should see the behind the scenes maybe one day. But we'd love to hear from you and have you guys join the conversation as well. If you have seen any of the films that we reviewed, take a look at the video description, click the link, send some commentary, and we can't wait to hear from you.
And next week, we'll be back with reviews of Gretel and Hansel and the Rhythm Section.
And if you're interested in learning more about us, feel free to take a look at theartfulcritic.com for full film reviews and alexmanard.online.
All right, bye, guys. Have a good day.